Welcome to episode 137 of the Bronx Beat Podcast. I'm your host, EJ Faga, and today I'm joined just by Dr. Paul Semendinger.
Hey, EJ, how are you?
I am doing great. I got in some spring training baseball last week. It was fun. Pro tip for anybody going out to Arizona, the Rockies / Diamondbacks facility is amazing. Wonderful place to watch a ball game. I highly recommend it. Very cool. It's in Scottsdale. And that is my lesson of spring training. I didn't get to go out to Florida this year, even though I do love getting down to Steinbrenner Field. The Steinbrenner Field is a lot more of a pro stadium than a lot of these nice minor league ballparks. Have you ever been out to either spring training?
I have been to the Yankees spring training only once. But yes, we went once. It was fun. It was actually the first day that A-Rod was there. This was 2004.
Nice.
Yes. And I had two of my three children. One of them was too little. And we went into the Yankee gift shop at Steinbrenner Field, and Gene Michael was in there. And I looked up, and it was just Gene Michael, my kids, me, and a lady and her kid. And I went, "You're Gene Michael." And he put his hand up, and he said, "Shh." I said, "Can we have your autograph?" And he said, "Yes." So I quickly bought a baseball, and he signed it Gene Stick Michael. And then he quietly walked away before the throngs, the people that started entering, assaulted him and bothered him and took him away from whatever he had to do that day.
That is wonderful. My favorite. I had a great seat the last time I saw it. Went down to spring training in Tampa. It was like four or five rows behind the Yankee dugout.
Oh, nice!
And there was the one guy who had the seat essentially on the corner of the dugout. So everyone else were kind of behind the dugout, but this one guy could like basically reach into the dugout. Season ticket holder or spring training season ticket holder, whatever it is, and this guy clearly had like a thing going with the clubhouse attendants or somebody in the dugout, because he would show up with bags of like basically candy and then hand them into the clubhouse attendant. And then like he would be like the guys would like toss him balls all the time, and occasionally he would get them signed, and he would like toss them out to like the children of the section. It was very weird, because it was like he was exchanging really weird goods for baseballs. I don't
That's awesome.
It was very, very weird. And like, when I'm talking about like weird candy, like the peanut, fake peanut orange candy, like those kinds of things I remember. Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So the weird things you see at spring training, we're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about how the Yankee 25-man roster for opening day is shaping up. So lots of very interesting things happened today. The Yankees optioned Tyler Austin, Giovanni Gallegos, Ben Heller, and Billy McKinney to AAA today. It's been announced, or at least assumed, that Jacoby Ellsbury will at least begin the season on the disabled list. Tyler Wade has earned a spot on the opening day roster. Gleyber Torres has been optioned down to the minor leagues. So lots of, or rather has been, will not earn a spot on the opening day roster. He's not on the 40-man, so he doesn't need an option. So lots of things have happened, lots of developments here, and which means we're starting to kind of get a picture of the opening day roster. Right now, by my count, there are 23 players, or at least 22 players, with guaranteed spots on the 25-man roster for opening day. Those are your five starting pitchers, your six core relievers. So I'm including Adam Warren amongst those six core relievers. I'm not including Chasen Shreve, who we'll talk about in a second. You have your nine starting fielders. That includes Chris Drury and Neil Walker. You have your backup catcher, Austin Romine, and then you have Tyler Wade. So that's 22 spots in total. There are three spots remaining. Of those 43 spots remaining, we can say that Chasen Shreve and Ronald Torres seem to have a pretty good shot at making this roster. So my first question for you is, would you prefer to have Shreve and Torres, or would you prefer to substitute in any of the other players on the 40-man roster for the final 25-man?
You know what? I think Shreve, he is the best other lefty. I'd rather have him than Wade LeBlanc at this point. I think you need a second lefty. So Shreve, if it's me, if I'm making the decision, makes the team. And Torres brings a sense of fun and excitement. He did a great job. He's got the toe night show in the dugout. And I think his days as a Yankee long term are probably going to be limited once the Yankees bring up guys like Gleyber, Torres, and Miguel Andujar. But until that point, I think Torres is definitely going to make the team. In fact, the Yankees just released one of their silly spring training get ready for opening day videos, and it's all about Torres. He's dreaming that he's hitting balls over the fence, and there's a scene in there where Giancarlo Stanton can't open a container of pickles, and Torres comes in and opens it. So I think all signs point to Torres being on the team.
Okay, so I have to disagree mostly on both counts, but mostly on Torres. I think you're right that signs point to Torres being on the team. That seems clear. They seem to like him. I don't think that Torres had. There's no point. I think there's no point to having Torres on this roster at this moment. Tyler Wade plays all the positions that Torres does. He probably plays them better. He also plays center field and the outfield and is fast and is probably a better hitter. Is doing better in spring training and can steal bases. Right, so anytime you would say let's put Ronald Torres on the field, you are better off saying, wait, no, I forgot we have Tyler Wade. Let's put him on the field. So he becomes your backup infielder, and I just don't think that's very useful. And furthermore, you have so much flexibility on this infield roster that if you had to, you could move Neil Walker over to third. You could move Brandon Drury over to second. Right, though you have lots of options, so you don't the utility of having like a super sub. Is lower, a second super sub is lower because you can already move people around the infield a little bit. We'll discuss alternatives in a second, but I don't see any situation where I would actually want to play Ronald Torres on this roster. If he's at AAA, he is still eligible to be called up. He is still optionable. And so if somebody got injured, you could call up Ronald Torres. Tyler Wade could start for that injured player, and Torres could be your backup infielder in a day, right? He could drive from Scranton. That's not that hard.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. But I think that he's on the team.
I think you're right, and I don't like that. I do not like that he is on this team. I get that he's a funny guy, and he's playing like he's great on camera, and the players love him, and all of that. And I think he would make a great clubhouse attendant, but not a great backup infielder. Now there's more interesting things going on here. So we have Chazen Shreve. And I agree with you that I would love another lefty in this bullpen. And I think that that is right now that's the one piece of leverage the Yankees don't have. They have five really, really good relievers, and they're all righties. And it would be nice to bring in a guy in like a one-out situation in between, you know, Chad Green and Tommy Conley. I don't think Chazen Shreve is that guy. I think he is worse against that lefty than all five of those guys, except unless you think that Dellin Betances is basically shot, which is perfectly defensible at this point. His career splits are basically even. He has a career OPS, TOPS plus, which is just you're comparing your split against lefties and righties. That's exactly the same, right? So over the 133 games of his career, he has been the same pitcher against lefties and righties. He has not had a platoon split. Last season in 2007, in a pretty small sample, he had a pretty strong platoon split in favor of lefties. So maybe that has changed, and maybe there's some reason to believe that he will, going forward, be a really strong lefty one-out guy. I am skeptical. I think the Yankees optioned down a much better option in Ben Heller to the minor leagues. Ben Heller is a guy who the Yankees have never really given a chance to succeed at the major leagues, even though in limited time in the majors he's been really good, and at AAA he's been one of the best relief pitchers in minor league baseball. In the majors, he pitched this last season. He pitched only 11 innings. He only allowed one run during those 11 innings. He struck out a bunch of guys. He had some walks, right? It wasn't perfect, but he only allowed one run in 11 innings. Like that's good. And at the AAA last year, he struck out 13 batters per nine. Like, this is a guy who could be like your next elite reliever, and you're playing Chazen Shreve over him. And I just don't get that.
I think what happens is teams get hung up on, and I do believe that Aaron Boone is going to do probably a better job at this than Joe Girardi did. And I was a big Joe Girardi supporter, but I think Aaron Boone's going to follow, you know, sabermetrics just a little bit more. But I still think even with that, teams get caught up in the fact that you need to have a left-handed guy. I think when you go back to Torres, the Yankees, even going back to Joe Torre, we talked about this about a month ago, get hung up on these guys with these small sample sizes who end up doing great. The Enrique Wilsons and the Luis Sojos and the Miguel Cairos of this world. And I see Torres falling into that, where they just think that, oh, we've got the greatest little guy who can overperform, and he's going to always perform, overperform until they don't. And I just don't see the Yankees going into the season with one lefty and that being their closer. So that's why I think Shreve's on the team.
Yeah, and I think you are correct. I just wish you weren't. So that's my feeling about that one right there. So I think Shreve is on the team. He's out of options, and so if they were to give up on him, he'd have to pass through waivers. And although I don't think that would be much of a loss, I think at this point it's almost certainly going to happen. Also still in camp, I believe Miguel Andujar is still in camp. So he's still in camp. Domingo Germán or German, I don't know if it's German or Germán. I haven't actually heard his name called for a while, but I'm going with Germán right now. And Jonathan Holder are all still in camp. So they are presumably competing for those last three spots. So I want to ask you, first off, we're going to get to who we think will be picked. But first, before we get there, who do you think, if you were Brian Cashman, who would you give that last 25-man roster spot to? Domingo Germán. The choices are Domingo Germán, Jonathan Holder, and Miguel Andujar.
I think Andujar's in the minors. I thought I saw him go down.
Oh, he did? Okay, so let's limit ourselves to the two pitchers in a second, because there's other guys in the minors I think we should talk about bringing back up.
Yes.
So you got one last spot. Let's say it's going to go to a pitcher because they really don't feel like they need a bench of any kind in any circumstance. And it's you have a choice between Domingo Germán and Jonathan Holder.
Well, you know what? I like what you said about Holder. You sold me, so I'm going to go with Holder. And I at least he has some major league experience. Ultimately, I think the Yankees do not need another pitcher. Their bullpen is stacked. So I don't see that would do anything for Jonathan Holder's development. But if you're saying I have to pick between one of the two, he's who I take at this moment.
I mean, Holder's got some crazy minor league stats, right? This is a guy who in 2016 had 14 strikeouts per nine and one walk per nine, right? During that time, he had a 1.65 ERA. I mean, he was just elite. And at AAA last year, now he didn't have a full season at AAA last year. He spent most of his time in the majors last year. He had 12 strikeouts per nine and an elevated 4.5 walks per nine. In the majors, 9 strikeouts per nine, 1.5 walks per nine. Like, he was pretty good in the majors. He had a 3.62 FIP, 3.89 ERA. Like, I know that a lot of that was weighted toward the beginning of his time, and he kind of fell apart toward the end. But I think every indication is that Jonathan Holder is a good relief pitcher. That said, I think I want Domingo Germán. That's my pick here. I think Domingo Germán, first off, should be a major league starting pitcher. But if he's not going to be a major league starting pitcher, I want to see what this guy can do in short relief. He's got a great fastball. He's got great stuff. You know, he's the kind of guy who could become like a real Chad Green type, multiple inning fireball in relief. And, you know, if we're talking about basically a roster spot until Jacoby Ellsbury gets back, let's you know, put this guy in short, you know, a couple of short stints and just see what happens when he's throwing, you know, 96.
I don't disagree. I think if the Yankees are viewing him as a starting pitcher, you know, I still think the jobber rules lingers back in the recesses of some of these guys' heads, and I don't think they want to move a guy who they think might be a starting pitcher and start him in the year as a reliever, and again, the eighth reliever situation. So you're not wrong, but I think if they're going to pick one of the two, it's going to be Heller.
Okay, so now let's talk about, let's say for a second that wasn't going to happen, right? They weren't going to bring in their 13th pitcher, or I'm sorry, their 12th or 13th a pitcher. They don't need the extra relief pitcher. They have so much relief depth at this point in the season that it's kind of pointless to bring that guy in. And instead of doing that, they said, let's call up a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Which hitter would you call up?
Well, which hitter would I call up, or who do I think they're going to call up?
Let's say which hitter will they call up. I will preface this by saying currently on the 40-man roster, you have Miguel Andujar, Tyler Austin, and Gleyber Torres. Let's assume Gleyber Torres is not an option. And then they have Billy McKinney as a left-handed outfielder.
Is Austin on the roster? Yes.
Tyler Austin, Miguel Andujar, Billy McKinney are your options.
If it's my option, it's Andujar. I want him. I think he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to. In fact, on my blog, I'm going to predict when we run the prediction post this weekend that he's going to be the American League Rookie of the Year. He's going to go down to the minors to start the year and come back and just light the world on fire. So if I had my choice, I'd just start the year with him.
Okay, so I agree with you, but if the premise is that you send Miguel Andujar down because his defense isn't ready yet and he can play full-time at third base rather than sitting on the bench, is that a compelling argument? And does it make you reconsider, or do you say, no, screw that, Andujar is a major league player right now, he's going to hit, let's let him hit?
I say if he's up, he plays, though. So if he's going to start the year in the major leagues, I'm not going to waste him on the bench.
Would you play him over Drury?
I would.
Okay. I think that's interesting. I think there's a good chance that he's better than Drury. I think Drury is the more certain player at the moment.
Absolutely. That's why I think they're going to start the year with him.
Yeah, and I think you give Drury a chance to be good or bad, and then like in a month you'd make a decision. Personally, I think between Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar, and Torres is going to be playing second and short, so maybe that means moving Neil Walker over. I think that's still an option, but I still think that's the calculus. I'm going to go with Billy McKinney, who I thought you were going to pick.
That's who I said. I think the question is, who do I think the Yankees are going to bring? That's my crazy pick that I think will come up, and I'll tell you why in a moment.
Let's put out the case for Billy McKinney before you think he's the guy who comes up, right? I think the biggest case for Billy McKinney is that Billy McKinney is a left-handed hitter. And right now, the weak players on this roster are a lot of right-handed or switch hitters. So guys who you might consider pinch hitting for, guys who you might want to maybe sit against a tough righty, something like that. Right, you have guys like Brandon Drury, who I think is we've talked about. You could pinch hit him with a platoon advantage problem, I think, pretty well. I think guys like Ronald Torres, if he ends up in a spot, I think you're going to be pinch hitting for him. I think Neil Walker's got some spots where you're going to be pinch hitting for him. Austin Romine is going to be starting a decent amount, and if you have Gary Sanchez either DHing or you don't want to have Gary Sanchez. If you want to get him rested, you could pinch hit him there. So I think having a left-handed pinch hitter is better than having a right-handed pinch hitter, and Billy McKinney is that left-handed pinch hitter. And the Yankees don't really have a backup outfielder right now. They have the four outfielders and then DH, but you can assume that most of those games that DH is going to be starting, and so you will lose the DH if you move that player into the outfield. You have Tyler Wade as an option there, but he's also the backup shortstop and second baseman, right? And you can imagine games where you want to use him as a pinch runner. You can imagine games where he's already in the game because he's already pinch run for somebody, and then therefore you don't have a backup outfielder. And I think that's a more valuable player to have on this team than another relief pitcher who's not going to play very much.
I agree with you entirely. And as you're talking, you're making me realize I think the Yankees are going to think of Wade as that fifth outfielder at this point until Jacoby Ellsbury comes off the DL.
So you think Wade is more of an extra outfielder than he is an extra infielder, or do you think he's both, like the first priority?
Well, I think he's both. He's probably going to be the first priority, but I think the Yankees are saying you're the fifth outfielder, which is why, again, we're going to go back to Torres. They think of Torres then as the backup infielder guy, and I think they think to Torres is the third string catcher. God forbid something happens to Sanchez and Romine in the same game.
Yeah, that's always an option. And I'm sure, I'm assuming he's the guy who drew that short straw and had to take some catching drills on the roster, which makes him a little harder to get rid of, though hopefully not too difficult to get rid of. I'm a Billy McKinney fan at this point. I think, McKinney was really good last year. I mean, it's hard to understate how good he was. You kind of look at his top line, and it doesn't look that impressive. I mean, it looks impressive, but the guy hit .277, .338, .483 between AA and AAA last year. Now, he was better at AAA, .306, .336, .351. He had really, really strong home road splits. I won't keep reading out numbers, but he was far, far better on the road last year, especially at AA, than he was at home. And I've talked about this a decent amount on this podcast before, but it's worth repeating. Trenton, the ballpark of the Trenton Thunder, is really, really pitcher friendly. It is a very difficult place for any kind of power hitter, especially left-handed pitching, left-handed hitters. And so by being so difficult, you know, you end up hiding really strong performances. And his batting line wasn't bad at AA. It was 250, 340, 430. But that doesn't scream like future major league player. But once he gets out of there and gets into a much more neutral run environment in Scranton, all of a sudden he looks like a superstar. And he's not the first player for this to happen to either. I mean, this happened to Jay Cave. This happened to some extent to Gleyber Torres, right? Like these players at AAA kind of start, like, finally get into a run environment in the Yankee minor league system that's a little bit better. And I just basically want to see what McKinney can do. That's the part of it there. Maybe he forces his way onto the roster, if there are no injuries. But I think at this point, it's going to take an injury to get him up from AAA. And that's a pity because Jacoby Ellsbury is the guy blocking him.
Yes. And I agree with everything you say. McKinney has actually played in 18 games in the minor in spring training this year. The only guy who's appeared in more is Florial. The only guys appeared in as many is Jace Peterson and Shane Robinson, and neither of those guys are options to be on the roster. And while McKinney's batting average in spring training, which we you can't put a whole lot of weight on, but while his batting average was only 161, his OPS has been 929. So what, he is making connections. He is getting on base. He does show that he has a good amount of slugging. And of any of the Yankee players who faced any significant amount of time, he is the guy who's leading the team who's not on the roster in OPS. And I think if I'm the Yankees, I'm looking at that and I'm looking at what you're saying. He's a left-handed hitter, and you are. If you're gonna pinch hit, you're gonna pinch hit for guys like Ronald Torres and Austin Romine, and you need a guy who can hit from the left side, and that's Billy McKinney.
Or just a guy at all. Right now, they don't have a guy at all on the roster, right? I mean, even if you had Tyler Austin on the roster, I'd want to pinch hit for those guys in key spots.
Correct.
They don't have that guy. I think it's interesting you bring up spring training playing time. It's one of my favorite exercises, so I'd like to just kind of go through it real quick right now. Who I'm concerned with, which players are being given the most playing time in spring training? Teams give players playing time for a couple of reasons, right? One is they generally will give the players who are going to be on the major league team a lot of playing time because they need to tune up. But they'll also give players that either need to kind of empty out some rust, so players that need to who've been injured or haven't had a lot of playing time recently. They have players who are auditioning for the majors that they want to see. They're also given a lot of playing time. And so when I run down the list of players, I think, we can talk a little bit about, who falls in what group and why. Greg Bird leads the team in at-bats. I actually don't have plate appearances here in front of me, so they might be a little bit different for plate appearances. In fact, as I stall for time, I'm navigating over to plate appearances. But Greg Bird is a player who's been giving a ton of playing time. And hasn't looked great. I mean, he finally hit a home run a couple of days ago, but are you concerned about Greg Bird? I mean, the Yankees seem to be concerned enough to give him more playing time than the average starter.
Correct. He actually has been playing a lot more than the average starter. And yes, I am concerned. I am afraid that Greg Bird is not what we all hope and dream and think and he's going to be. He just, with the injury history and the fact that he can't stay on the field and he's having a very slow spring. Now, maybe we're having the reverse of last year where he was great in the spring and then he got hurt and he was terrible till the playoffs or the stretch drive at least. So maybe we're just having the statistical variations even themselves out here. But I haven't seen a lot of games, because you can only get what's on TV. But when I've seen him, he hasn't really looked good. In spite of, in addition to the numbers not being there, he hasn't looked good.
And the Yankees don't really have another option behind Bird. That kind of scares me a little bit. I mean, maybe we've talked about a guy like Andujar and McKinney as that next option. But none of them have a lot of first base experience. And the Yankees just let Adam Lind go. I mean, to me, that's a good sign that they've released Adam Lind, that they're confident enough in Greg Bird that they're pretty decent, replacement level alternative, or maybe a little bit above replacement level alternative. They were willing to let go for free. I'm a little bit concerned about Bird, but I want to move on. Tyler Wade's gotten the second most playing time in spring training. I think Tyler Wade is the auditioner, right? And so far he's looked great. And, maybe now that he's won a spot, they'll kind of, bring that playing time back a little bit.
I agree with you. And I think he won the spot. He's done well. He's at 316. And he showed that he can run and he can field, and he's really done a nice job.
Yeah, almost as many strikeouts as walks. I mean, the Tyler Wade, I think we all forget that Tyler Wade had a breakout season in 2017. Tyler Wade, I used to call the Tyler Wade batting line, I used to call 270, 350, 350, because that's what Tyler Wade did every single season leading up to this last season, 2017. Now, he didn't play as much because he sat on the major league bench for a long period of time and barely played in the major leagues. But when he did play, when he was at AAA, Tyler Wade hit 310, 382, 460. That is nuts, right? And he's continued that into spring training. Now, it's spring training, we'll see. But I think it's just worth remembering that Tyler Wade could be better than Neil Walker, better than Brandon Drury, better than a lot of guys. Better than Greg Bird, possibly. So keep your eye on that.
I think if Tyler Wade were putting up those numbers 4 years ago, we would be looking at him a lot differently, and he would have been the guy instead of Rob Refsnyder, who, because Refsnyder, I think, was a mirage. I don't think Tyler Wade's a mirage.
And then the key difference between those two players, I think it's a great comparison to bring up, is that Refsnyder is probably a better hitter than Wade, or at least was in the minor leagues. But Refsnyder just had no position. Tyler Wade has all the positions, right? They're complete opposite defensive players in that sense. And you know, you get the sense that if Rob Refsnyder had like played a passable left field or a passable second base, that he'd be on the Yankee roster right now. But he can't. He was just terrible out there. And Tyler Wade won't be, and can provide that value even if he doesn't hit as well as Refsnyder. But it looks like he might do that.
I think he'll hit better than that. I don't think Refsnyder can hit. Ultimately, I think that was a mirage.
The next two players to get a ton of playing time are Brandon Drury and Aaron Hicks. I don't think there's much of a story there. Brandon Drury is interesting because you know he's a switch hitter, so maybe they want to give him the playing time to get both swings going. But it's hard to really tell a story right there. I don't think there's much going on. Number five is Miguel Andujar. And he clearly was being auditioned for a spot. So my question is, given this much playing time that he received, should Miguel Andujar still be competing for a spot right now? He's lost that competition. He hit four home runs really early and didn't do a lot afterwards. We've said that we think he is good enough to be a major league player, but did he disappoint in spring training?
I think he got off to that hot start, and I think he did disappoint after that. Again, you hate putting a whole lot of value in spring training, but they're playing the games, and the results have to matter at least at some point. And I think what the Yankees saw was that he can still use – what has he only played, about 58 games at AAA? So I think the Yankees saw that he could still use some time developing, and that's never a bad thing.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think that there's guys who I think you hurt by sending back down. I think you hurt Billy McKinney by sending him back down. I don't think you hurt Miguel Andujar, and I agree with you there. Nothing really else going on the hitting side. I'm going to navigate over to pitchers and kind of see what's going on there. The pitchers are always a little bit more difficult to judge because the Yankees and many other teams are very. They don't always pitch their starting pitchers in major league games. So often you'll have like a road trip and there'll be like, it'll be kind of some bad weather, like Sonny Gray a couple of days ago. And instead of risking that player might not pitch because due to weather, they'll just pitch him in a minor league game in their minor league complex. And so the playing time isn't really key there. What I think is interesting is that Wade LeBlanc has received the second most playing time in spring training. Do you think there was ever a world where Wade LeBlanc could have been like the last guy in this bullpen?
Probably, but I don't think so. I think if the Yankees are going to go with that third player, that the guy they're going to go with would have been one of these young, hard-throwing kids.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the distribution of playing time here, and the Yankees have given a lot of innings to guys who are going to be on their AAA team, like are definitely going to be on the AAA team. Wade LeBlanc, David Hale, who... As a New Jersey Devils fan, I remember as a hockey player, but that's a different David Hale. Brady Lau, C. Carroll. I don't even know what C. Carroll's first name is. J.P. Fierson, right? These are all guys who are not going to be major league players. And unlike the hitters who have, for the most part, received major league playing, major league status, or rather received the bulk of the playing time, the ones who are going to be in the majors, most of this has gone to minor league players, right? C.C. Sabathia has only pitched two spring training starts. right? Tommy Conley and Dellin Betances all have like six innings or less. So there's less you can read in the tea leaves there. But the last player I want to talk to you about is, I think, a player that's been a little bit interesting in this bullpen, and that is Luis Sessa. He's only pitched like three games, not that many innings, but people have said that they like his stuff coming out and that he's gotten a better shape, yada yada. Do you think there's anything in Luis Sessa, or should he just be designated for assignment at this point?
I think you see Luis Sessa go down to AAA. I think he becomes one of these guys that bounces up and down. And I'm predicting that he is, I don't want to steal all my thunder here, but I predict he's the third piece in a big trade that takes place in July that helps the Yankees get over the hump.
I will say, Mike Xis at River App Blues today wrote a post, and he speculated or made his bold prediction that Luis Sessa, if converted to the to relief pitcher, could be like that next, like, Chad Green type. And I think that's about as good of that's not a bad bet right there. I think he's a failure in both long relief and as a starting pitcher, and I don't understand why he has a roster spot given that information. We have gone 30 minutes somehow on this discussion, Paul, so I commend you for that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. A week from now, we are going to be previewing opening day. It's getting close. I know. I need baseball. I need real baseball. I need baseball that I can rely on and not have to deal with MLB.com, nobody televising spring training games, which just kills me.
And you know what, EJ? I'm tired of the announcers from other teams.
Oh, God, yeah, it's the worst.
A couple of weeks ago, they had the Yankees-Red Sox, and they had the Red Sox announcers doing the game. And all they did was a nine-inning commercial for the Jimmy Fund, which is a wonderful thing.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. They didn't even – I think it was Ronald Torres had a bunt single or Didi had a bunt single, and the guy didn't even notice it. He's like, oh, a slow ground ball. Like, you're not even watching the game. You're just interviewing all these different people. It was terrible.
It's the worst. I'll tell you. I'm blacked out of any Texas games. And so when the Yankees are playing the Rangers – the local broadcast is horrible, and it's all that kind of local crap. Or it's like, let's interview the guy with the sandwich shop, you know, while the game is playing. I can't stand that. That's a rant for another day. Paul, thank you for joining me. Everybody, thank you for listening. This has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.